What's going on, guys, and welcome to the Say Yes Project, where permission is granted. I am your host, Ariana, and I'm a child of God who is here to help you guys accept the invitation from God and all that comes with it. Before we get started in today's episode, I encourage you to follow us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify so that you can get the weekly Wednesday drop. I also encourage you to follow us on Instagram at the Say Yes Project Pod so that you can get regular updates on everything involving the show. So today's episode will be a continuation on our conversation from last week, but with a different twist to it. So I was reflecting this morning as I was preparing myself for the day and like recording this episode, and I thought about how I was as a teenager. So when I was in high school, I was a cheerleader. I cheered for my basketball team. So shout out to Northside High. And I remember we would do a lot of like conditioning and working out just so that we could be prepared for doing a whole lot of stomping and yelling and cheering and, you know, building up your endurance. But one of the things that was always tickle me about myself is that we often would get in trouble by our coaches, whether it was we were talking too much in between sets or we were, you know, just not doing what we were supposed to do at practice. So my coach would often have us run. And if you are any kind of athlete, you know that like if one person messes up, everybody is gonna catch the fade. So we would have to run up and down the stairs and do laps and all of these different things. And our coach would watch us, and the more we would complain, the longer it would take for us to be done with these laps, right? And to get back to the business of practice. And I used to get so frustrated because I was not a complainer when it came to when we got in trouble. Like, I accepted what it was and I would run. But the more they would complain, the more we would have to run, which means the more I would have to suffer, right? Because that's just what it is when you're in a team. So what I recognized this morning as I was reflecting on that is that I have been a person that has pretty much always suffered in silence. I don't know if it's the only child in me. I don't know if it's because I have a high pain tolerance, but I have always chose to suffer in silence because I often felt like the more you fixate on it and the more you complain about it, the worse it feels in the moment, right? So as I was thinking about that, that's what made me go, well, I talked about waiting well, but while you're waiting, you might be suffering. So I want to introduce this concept of suffering well. So this might not be the first time you've heard this thing. I know a lot of pastors talk about like suffering well, but I can understand that that is not something that we as human beings want to do. If we go back to the beginning of time, right, with Adam and Eve, God made us into these perfect creatures, right? We were perfectly made in his image. So of course, that would mean that he did not desire for us to experience certain things, whether it's experience death, experience sickness, experience heartbreak. That was not something that God like was like cheerleading for. But we know with the fall, it introduced us to the evils of the world, and the evils of the world is death and suffering and heartbreak and famine and, you know, rape, murder, all of these different things. So it introduced suffering into our space. That's what sin did. And for me, that's why I realized the more and more as I grow in my Christian faith, how much I cannot stand sin. Because whenever I see something and I know God did not design for us to feel this emotion of suffering, right? So because that's where we are now, right? Like that's, we can't go back in time. We can't, you know, knock the fruit out at Eve's hand or make Adam not eat it or, you know, any of those things. Since we can't do that, we have to kind of embrace the fact that like our bodies don't have the capacity for suffering, right? Even if we were to go back to Romans 5:12, it says, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, in this way, death spreads to all people because all sinned." Right? So that's a more of a reintroduction of the fact that we are experiencing a lot of this suffering on earth because of sin. So if that's the case, I'm sure we're wondering, like, okay, so, but then how do I not feel it? There's no ramification for that. You know, we understand that as you continue to build your faith, that you will experience no suffering, no pain, no any of those things in heaven. That's why this is a temporary dwelling space. But while we're here, we have to recognize the importance of suffering well. So let's define it, right? So I was looking up the word for suffering, and I saw that the Latin breaks it up into two different sections. So it's sub, so even though that's not technically suff, but it's sub, which means below, and fer, which means to bear. And when you put it all together, it goes into further definition of something pressing down that you have to submit or bear. Wow. Let's just let that sink in for a second, right? Where it's literally a pressing down. Suffering is a thing that meshes you down into the ground and it's heavy and it's weighted, but you can't always push through or get above suffering. Sometimes you have to submit to the will of suffering. So as believers, we hear that word submit, and I know it could be a little bit of a, I don't want to submit kind of thing, because that's our sin resisting against the submitting, the pressing down of sorts. That's why, let's think about it. That's why we're not able to understand or comprehend or bear or deal with suffering, because our bodies don't feel comfortable in it. Even as a clinician, so my main population is sexual trauma. And a lot of times I'm teaching clients or teaching the people that I work with that we have a lizard brain that's still necessary. God left it there for a reason, that alerts us when things need to be placed in survival mode, right? So when we are in dangerous situation, we either are going to fight it out, flight, so we're going to run, or we're going to freeze, because that continues you to survive the next situation. And a lot of times that people who experience trauma get stuck in one of the functions of their lizard brain. So that's why oftentimes when they experience any kind of suffering, any kind of pain, they run to the thing that helped them survive in the past. So that's something to think about. And I'm about to get a little nerdy on you guys. So in another life, right? Or God didn't necessarily have it intended for me, but I love history. I love understanding what happened in the past so that we can not make the same mistakes in the future. So one of the things that, you know, people who are historians and even people who study DNA and biology have recognized that in the African-American experience in particular, and even for the Jewish community as well, our DNA has functionally been altered due to the historical oppression of being enslaved for African Americans and the Holocaust for Jews. Because of that, it baked trauma into our DNA. So it literally rewrote our DNA schema. So that's why even for some African-American, or at least even, not even some, all of us, when we experience stressful situations, our body responds based on the trauma that's been reworked in our system. So I think that if I were to push further onto it. That's why I realized that a lot of African Americans, Black people, tend to have a survival mentality whenever there's experiencing of suffering, right? Where they are trying to push through and fix things and keep it going. So, because there, it's like their body is in tune with the trauma. So this is not a thing of our own doing. So that's how important it is to recognize, like, suffering has never been something that we were able to conceptualize. And even in the human to human experience, it's been exasperated, which is why we have to become a little bit more comfortable with hating sin, because this is all a byproduct of sin, right? So if we recognize that portion, right, that some of the things that we experience is just like what Romans says, is like, is entered through with one man, and we've all sinned and we've all experienced it. So that means we're all going to be subjugated at some point in time to suffering. So what kind of suffering are we talking about? What are the things that can happen in our lives that produce suffering? So some of our suffering is God yielding to the sinful nature of the world and allowing suffering to happen. So if we think about people in the Bible like Job, who was really minding his business and experienced all of this loss and grief and hurt and pain and all this suffering, because God just allowed the devil to touch. Emphasis on, he allowed the devil to touch him. Not it just, the devil has all this power and stuff. Devil doesn't have power. God had to allow it, right? So there are some people that are in situations like that where you're experiencing suffering for no making of your own. Like you were, like I said, minding your business. You weren't doing anything. And you now are in the process of suffering. So that might be you are in a job that you don't like, that's causing you a lot of pain and a lot of stress and anxiety. Maybe you've experienced a medical diagnosis that is like rocking you and your family. You may even be going through the suffering process of infertility. There's so many different things that have nothing to do with you and have everything to do with just the way the world works and the way sin, we're experiencing sin, right? So it's important to know and be careful about, how do I say it? Be careful about blaming God and the enemy, or really blaming the enemy for all of your suffering, because sometimes that suffering has come to correct us and perfect us. It goes back to what I talked about last week with the waiting. Everything that you're experiencing is not just to break you down or to your detriment, right? Sometimes your suffering is a lesson. We can think, like I said, Job is one where it wasn't really a lesson, but it was just what was allowed. Joseph is another. He suffered to be a guiding light to somebody else, right? So that's one version of suffering, is the suffering that happens just because the sky is blue and the grass is green and there's something that needs to be seen in that blue sky and that green grass. So there's that. The other form of suffering can be very much self-inflicted. Ooh, this is the accountability portion of the podcast, right? Where sometimes the suffering that you're experiencing is the consequences of your actions. Let's just let that marinate for a second. Because oftentimes we don't think about that. We don't think about the times where, like, okay, let me be reflective and pay attention to, is some of the suffering that I'm experiencing by my own making? Did I create a storm in my life for no good reason? That can happen, right? So like we can think about people like, who was I thinking? Oh, even Saul. Like Saul is a perfect example of the suffering that he was having, the torment in his mind was due to him stepping out and stepping away from God and the anointing being lifted off of his life. That is one of the things. But even if we talk about it on a personal level, me and my good friend were having that conversation one day where we were talking about sometimes things happen to us because we did something we didn't have no business doing. And then we're looking at God like, well, why would you punish me? And it's like, well, you did this. That's what happens with parenting. That's what happens in a lot of things. Even my example earlier where I talked about the only reason why we were running last was because we were talking too much. Sometimes we were running last because we were half doing the cheers. So if we had full out did the cheers and we had stopped talking and paid attention in practice, we wouldn't be running laps. We wouldn't be suffering the consequences of having to run laps. So you have to kind of recognize a little bit of that as well when you are, you know, navigating, like, what is my suffering showing me right now? Is it you have done something? And I need to be careful. I want to be very cautious about saying doing stuff, because God's grace is still very much alive and well with us. Like, even when we are outside of his covenant, we can oftentimes still be protected by him, because he's still Father, he's still Savior, he still extended that grace out to us. So I don't want y'all to hear me say, oh, if you do something and then you get punished for it, now you, that's how God corrects. It is a correcting tool, but it's almost just like a parent. Like, a parent provides boundaries for their children in order for their children to, you know, be molded into the version of, you know, especially if you're faith-based, a God-fearing child. But you have to sometimes correct. But it doesn't remove the love. It doesn't remove the affection. It doesn't remove the grace. It just means this little bit of suffering that you're experiencing is because you did not set yourself in a better position. So please understand me when I say that, and don't take that out of context, right? But that's another version of suffering. And sometimes we're also just experiencing the suffering. Well, I'm gonna just start repeating myself, so I'm not even gonna go there. But if we think about these different versions of suffering, right, it begins to help us tweak how we view the world around us. I know a lot of times, especially for non-believers, we have certain questions, right? Like, why would God allow slavery? Why would God allow famine? Why? We have a lot of whys of God, because we believe in, like, a one-dimensional view of God instead of looking at him very multidimensional, right? Like, God is not just wanting people to be hurt and wanting to be people to be harmed, right? I remember in a sermon one time, my pastor had made a really poignant point of, like, don't think that the reason why maybe a little girl gets shot and killed is that's the Lord's will. That's not the Lord's will. The Lord's will is not for us to be in pain like that. That's where free will has always been a factor in why certain things happen to us in this world. So, like, we have to recognize that when we are, like, navigating this space and in this time, right? I say all that to say, I want you guys to even begin to think and examine in this moment, like, okay, so what are some things in my life that I feel like I'm suffering for, like I'm suffering because, and, like, I want you to recognize what those are and hold on to them and begin to navigate, okay, what is this suffering telling me? Is this a suffering because of me? Maybe I need to turn my heart. Or is this a part of being in a fallen world? Right? Because that's going to make it easier for us to begin to start this conversation around suffering well. So when you hear me say suffer well, what do you think I mean? When I say suffer well, I mean to not allow the situation around you to determine the things of God and who he is to you and who he's always been to you and all of those things, right? So if we go to James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, it says, consider it a great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Right? So the word that I want to, like, focus in on is the word joy. So what is joy? Joy is not happiness. So let's make sure that we separate those two, because even when we look at an emotion wheel, right? Joy is an offshoot of happiness, but joy is still the foundation. So whenever I talk to my clients about I want them to experience joy and not happiness, they kind of look at me funny, like, well, what do you mean, Ariana? Why don't you want me to experience happiness? And it's like, well, I don't want you to focus on it. Because happiness is an extreme emotion, just like anger is an extreme emotion and sadness. Your body is not able to sustain happiness for a long period of time, especially living in a fallen world, because we have suffering that can be introduced into the equation. It can be brought into the chat. So if I want you to focus on joy, what I really want you to focus on is, what does joy mean in my life? So when I define joy, I've discovered that joy is defined as a feeling of contentment and peace that comes from God. So if you think about it like that, like, okay, so if it's peace and contentment, that means that it's not wavering. It's the constant in your world, right? No matter what's going on, it transcends your situation. So there are people who are in jail that have joy. There are people who are riddled with cancer or riddled with terminal diseases that are joyful. There are people in countries that you believe are third world countries that have joy. And it's because oftentimes those people have that confidence that I am free in my mind. I have peace in my heart. And I know that God is still King. He's still Lord. He's still Savior, right? Especially if we're going in the biblical. So there's some people who are not necessarily faith-based, but I also wonder, do they experience a lot of joy? They might experience a lot of happiness, but not joy. Because I could feel happy if somebody gave me $20 million right now. Yeah, I would be extremely happy, right? But after that wears off, I'm not going to feel that strong happiness, but I might still feel joy. And that's what I would encourage you to do. So that's why, even if we look back at that scripture, it says, consider it a great joy that when you're experiencing various trials. Because why is it saying that? Well, that gives you another opportunity to trust in the Lord, right? If we go back to Job was sad. You hear me? Like, if you read some of the points of Job, like, sometimes we talk about Job and just focus on how he endured, but we don't talk about his real human emotions in the moment, right? Where he felt sad and grief and low and all of these different things, but still praised God and still recognized who he is and all that he has done for him up until that point and what he was doing for him now. Right? God doesn't change based on our circumstances, so we cannot change with God based on our circumstances. If we're experiencing a trial, we, not to say we have to be like, oh, it's in the Lord's will. That's why I said to examine it. Examine why you're experiencing this suffering, this trial, so that you can properly interact with God in the right way, you know? Because if not, you'll find yourself doing toxic positivity, like, oh, it's in the Lord's will and everything will be great. And it might not have anything to do with God. And I mean that, like, in the most, like, holy way I can say it, like, it may not be God that's creating this suffering for you. So you have to recognize that part. So if we see it like that, like, okay, it's allowing me to endure. And once I continue to create endurance, I'll become complete and I lack nothing. If you think about, like, the older generation, right, like the people that are in their 50s, 60s, 70s, a lot of times they experience a lot of joy because God has already gotten them through so many trials. So it's like nothing can really shake them up a little bit. Like, yeah, they'll get sad, but their joy will still be there. Like, their joy will still be there. Another version of understanding why joy is so important is to go back to Romans, right? But go to Romans 8:18. And it says, "For I consider that the suffering of this present times are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed to us." So when you're suffering, well, you also recognize that on one level, this is a temporary dwelling place. My body is temporary. This house that I live in is temporary. The earth I live in is temporary. That there's glory to come when we recognize that all of our suffering won't be for naught. So like some of us will never be delivered from certain things, right? Whether it's certain illnesses, whether it's certain pain, whether it's certain afflictions. But when we believe in God and we have faith and we trust him, then we recognize that this suffering is not going to always be a thing, which, you know, we talk about in Revelations, like there's no pain. Every tear is wiped from their eyes and all they're doing is praising and saying, holy, holy, holy. So when you recognize that, you're able to suffer a lot better, or at least suffer well, when you recognize that my present suffering is not going to always be my suffering. And I mean that even in the land of the living, because if you remember from last week, I said the scripture, I will experience the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So if I know that I'm going to still experience goodness, then some of my suffering may be resolved here on earth. But we know we have guarantees. We have to always recognize that we have guarantees as a group of people. So that's another thing to think about, right? So I've kind of already started to go into like, how do you suffer well? So one of them is to, I think I've already mentioned it, which is, but I'll dive in deeper, is you have to focus on God. If you focus on your circumstance, it's almost like when the Israelites were looking out into the sea of the Red Sea and Pharaoh is coming from behind them, right? Like, if they were focused too much on Pharaoh, then they wouldn't have seen God parting the sea for them, or they wouldn't have seen what could come in front of them. So you have to be focused in on the one who is the creator, not creation, right? So like if I'm looking at something falling apart in my life, I also recognize that if it's falling apart, that means God's coming together in some other area of my life. Okay. And if this one door closes, that means another door is opening. And I don't even mean directly. Like if I know if one door is closing, that means that there's an opportunity coming for me from somewhere. And that could be 6 years from now. But it's coming because God has never failed and he's never lied. And he's always been who he is. So focus on God and not your circumstances. And that can be very difficult, right? Because our circumstances are real. I'm not even talking about some of these circumstances like they're not real. Like they're real. They're in our faces. Some people's parents are really dying from diseases. There are some people who have experienced the travesty of the world, whether it's physical abuse, sexual abuse, mental abuse. There are people that are going to bed hungry. So I'm not trying to be tone deaf and say like, oh, well, you shouldn't be, you know, concerned at all. But you should also recognize that my circumstances doesn't change my praise. My circumstances don't change my worship. My circumstances don't change me. They're just my circumstances that can literally change tomorrow. So, and that's a sidebar. I didn't even note that, but thank you, Holy Spirit. It's about being present because your circumstances are always going to be there. But if you stay present in the Lord and you stay present in his promises, then it's harder for you to be all wrapped up in all of the nuances of your circumstance. It goes back to even when we go to Matthew, when it says, therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body or what will you wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? And if we keep going at the end of that chapter, it says, therefore, don't worry about tomorrow because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And that's why I said you have to focus on God and you have to focus on him. Because oftentimes I tell people that I work with, tomorrow is a projected day. My mom told me I need to stop saying this, but I mean, we are in end time. So it's the truth. The sky can crack open tomorrow and God and Jesus can come back and swoop us all up. So tomorrow is a projected day. So yeah, it may feel daunting, but anything can happen tomorrow and we got to let tomorrow worry itself. But today we got to worry about what's going on right now. Like right now. So that's another way to begin to think about how to suffer well is to put your eye on the gift. Put your eyes on God. Focus in on him. Don't allow your circumstances to change your praise, right? Because it's going to happen. Even when we go to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 13, it says, "Dear friends, don't be surprised when the fiery ordeal comes among you to test you as if something unusual was happening to you. Instead, rejoice as you share in the suffering of Christ so that you may also rejoice with great joy when his glory is revealed." So don't be surprised. It's going to happen. You can't constantly be looking for it, but it's going to happen. So if you know it's going to happen, then it's easier for you to realize, like, when it comes that, oh, this is my time to suffer and I just have to suffer well. Another way that you can begin to suffer well is community. We are not made to be alone. God said that in Genesis. And while a lot of times that's associated with marriage, it's transcend marriage. It's community. It is important for you to be around fellow believers or just fellow healthy people that can help you, you know, navigate the suffering well, that they can check up on you and pour into you and even give you a helping hand. There is nothing wrong with asking people for help. There's nothing wrong with it. And a lot of times in this individualistic culture, we will feel like, well, nobody has our back and nobody can look out for me and all of these different things. And it's like, but at the same time, they could be helping you in so many different ways in any way that they can, but you have to ask. It goes back to ask and you shall be given, seek and you will be fine, and knock and the door will be open. That's about people too. That's with God, but that's with people. Because my grandmother, God rest her soul, always would say, you know, yeah, we have God, but God also gave us a brain. So use it. Build your community. Recognize the valuable people in your world and allow them to be of service to you. And again, I'm going to say it every single time. When I am saying some of this stuff, I'm raising my hand. It's me. I have been, just like I said in the beginning of this podcast, I am a suffer in silence person. And I had to have a friend tell me, girl, we cannot help you if your voice is quiet. Please speak up. Please tell us what's going on. I didn't know you were going through all of that. And I want to be a friend to you. And that's how you could be a better friend, is by allowing us to be used. So even when you don't want to, and I'm not saying you need to go to everybody, because everybody don't have your best interest at heart, but I can bet that there are good people in your world that want to help, that want to be there for you, but you have to let them in to your space. You do. So that's another thing. Surround yourself with healthy community, whether it's going on girl dates or friendship dates, whether it is, you know, connecting with your local church, whether it is, you know, speaking to family members that you trust and can cherish and that cherish you. Reach out and speak up, because you can't suffer by yourself. It's not how we were designed. If we're already not designed to suffer, we're definitely not going to be designed to suffer alone. That's not even how Jesus didn't even suffer alone. He had people around him. So remember that when you are in these kind of moments. And finally, this is more of the therapist part of me, is understand healthy emotions. Explore them well. Whether it is you get an emotion well, or you get a therapist, or whatever the situation is. A lot of times we're suffering and don't even recognize it because we want to have this false positivity. We're like, oh no, nothing's bothering me. I'm blessed and highly favored, and I'm this and I'm that. Well, girl, you can be blessed and also feel some other things. So be honest. Say, I'm blessed and I'm also struggling here. I'm blessed and I'm also struggling with lust. I'm blessed and I'm struggling to pay my bills. I'm just put an and in that statement, because and combines. It's a great conjunction to use. Combine those statements. Hey, you can feel very grateful for your life, but also feel great sadness that you just found out something tragic that is going on in your life. that is important when you are doing what you what when you're trying to, you know, walk this life, this Christian life. A lot of times we're sitting here acting like nothing's wrong with us, and that's why it's hard for other believers to, you know, be open and vulnerable, because they're thinking, oh, I'm not supposed to complain, or I'm not supposed to do any of those things. No, you can complain. You can complain, because that's the only way we're going to make it through this life that we live, right? So when you're exploring your emotions, there's a quote from the book, The Body Keeps the Score, that I want to read out, and I want you to think about when you're trying to explore your emotions. It says, "This being human is a guest house. Every morning is a new arrival. A joy, a depression, a meanness, some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all. Treat each guest honorably. The dark thoughts, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whoever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond." I love that quote because it allows us to recognize that God has never not desired us to have emotions. He just wants us to be able to recognize and not let them dictate, again, our circumstances, the God we serve, Jesus in all of his wisdom, and the Holy Spirit in all of their discernment. So I can feel angry without acting in anger. I can feel, you know, embarrassed without acting embarrassed. I can be mad without being hateful. Those things separate each other. The emotions just indicate what's going on, whereas the behavior is the expression of what's going on. So there are people who are down bad, but they still walk into rooms with a smile on their face, because maybe they have decided to suffer well. They've decided to not let their circumstances dictate how they treat others, because they also recognize that God is always watching. So that's what I want to leave you guys with, is I hope that this was very helpful to how you can suffer well. And I pray right now that, you know, if you are suffering, that you will turn to the person who is your ultimate comforter, who has always been your Prince of Peace, who wants you to feel joy in the morning, who wants all of these things for you. I pray that whatever you're experiencing right now, that this was helpful, and that it will allow you the opportunity to bask in joy versus focusing on suffering. So I'm so glad that you guys were able to hear and listen. So that is it for today. I pray that this episode gave you another reason to say yes to God. Continue to press in. And as Luke wrote in his Gospels, the heavens are rejoicing over your decision. Love and blessings.